even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live from this, it's a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. That wasn't supposed to keep going. Beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. A little snow on the ground, but temperature's a little more moderate. But it is wintertime. We welcome you. We've got a full crew this morning. Let me bring everybody on. So, Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul there in Michigan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And a little further, well, right in the middle of the country, Tim from Nebraska. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, good morning to you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And of course, we say, Holy Spirit, welcome. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Word says that where two or more gather in His name, He is there also. And so we welcome you, Lord Jesus. Pull up a chair. Hope you have a cup of coffee. And thank you for joining us. And Remnant, we thank you all across the country for taking time. A little earlier over on the West Coast, if that's where you're at. But we do. We thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. And where we go, who knows. We'll get there, good Lord willing. But going to open up in prayer first. And Jason, we'll look to you for that this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you give us each and every day, Father, and we know that you provide so many things for us, and we don't thank you near enough for all the blessings that you give us. And right now, Father, we cry out to you for mercy upon your people, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to lead, guide, and direct your people all across this land, all across this country, all across this nation. Lord, we just pray that people cry out to you and look to you for their salvation. Look to you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, we ask that you give that to us. We pray, Father, as we recognize that we are in ex- exciting times. Some may call it difficult times. But, Lord, we know that you're still there and you're still in control. We ask, Father, that you continue to fight with those that fight against us, continue to guide us and direct us, lead us. And, Lord, as we're in war, we just pray that you give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we need to fight the spiritual battles that are before us and the physical battles that are before us. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Amen. Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call. And, yeah, certainly lots going on when you look in current events. Saw one this morning. Oh, the White House announces that communications between the White House and China are over. Shut down. No communication going on. And that's, well, that could sure be a harbinger for things coming up. And lots going on internationally. Latest headline, the earthquake from Turkey and Syria, 40,000 dead. This was just 2 days ago, this report. And thousands still missing. You know, that's just a little bit more, a good bit more of a death toll and severity than any, I think, any of us have seen in our lifetime. And as far as current events here in the country, where do you start? I think they just try to outdo each other every day. The enemies do, but it's not all bad. There's good going on as well. So I'll throw it out there. Whoever wants to start, maybe got something that's been on your mind you want to share this morning.
Well, China's getting smarter. They're not dealing with an idiot, so that's what's going on, I think.
Yeah, and there's all these, reportings. We're shooting this unidentified stuff out of the skies, wasting money like crazy, shooting down, children's play toys. And, two Sidewinder missiles, because the first one missed at $400,000 a pop, a mission that costs over $1 million. It's some of it's just laughable. And some of it is you wonder, what else is going on in the world that this is just a distraction for. But, some of the stuff is interesting with, these things that have been shot out of the sky. Now, my personal opinion thus this far is that it's still just China messing with us and trying to figure out how fast we respond to different things when they get them in certain places. But I could be wrong on that. That's just basically a guess. There was very interesting video footage of just outside of a town in Montana of something falling straight out of the sky all the way down, and then black SUVs showing up and at the scene and stopping everybody around there. And there's just a lot of different things that are going on. It's exciting times, but like we've been saying, and I think it's accurate, this is war, and I've been saying it for a month. It's like, I really feel like, this is World War III. It's, we're in the midst of, a war. And this train derailment, that whole thing was just completely handled, not right from the beginning. And the outcome that we're going to see from that is going to be very, very long lasting. And people showing up on the scene, those tanks that held all the chemicals were not properly, they weren't marked hazmat like they were supposed to be. And that's a big no-no, especially If it was on a truck, it'd be one thing, and being on a train, that's a completely different deal. Tim, what was that gas that was does that work once that turns into, once they burn it? What happens? There's a chemical change in there, and that was something that they were never supposed to burn.
Yeah, when you burn vinyl chloride, it goes up into the atmosphere and mixes with the atmospheric products and creates hydrochloric acid. I mean, and then it precipitates out of the sky, you know, and hydrochloric acid is really, really combinable with water. I mean, it's what's called hydroscopic. It takes up water, finds water. And they're talking about all these massive fish die-offs and everything in the Ohio River and the tributaries there. And that's a result of the hydrochloric acid infiltration that's coming out of the sky. I mean, basically, they put that in the air and it became a delivery system to spread that all around. Toxic spills are nasty anyways. I mean, but it would have been localized to some degree had they just contained it and left it. But by burning it, they basically broadcast it over as big an area as the wind will move it to. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this damage just spread out. And the acid is, you know, it's coming out of the sky.
That's where you get acid rain too, isn't it?
Exactly. It's very similar, except most of your acid rain is a sulfuric, but it's the same principle. I mean, and it's bad stuff. I mean, and it proliferates. It's gonna kill things. It's gonna damage things. It's fallout. I mean, it's just not nuclear fallout. It's chemical fallout. So.
Well, and wasn't that would have been a triple-walled container?
It should have been a high-end, yeah, it should have been. Any of those kind of chemicals have to be transported in specialized vessels in order to mitigate risk of rollover and stuff. I mean, a lot of the rail containers go through tremendous amounts of inspections and tests for wrecks and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we haven't really heard. There's actually quite a few train derailments in the United States per year, somewhat over 1,000 on average per year. But derailments aren't really the same thing as wrecks. You know, a derailment can be categorized as whenever a train drops off the tracks, that's a derailment, and it's recorded as such. So, but they still test and maintain pretty high standards for that because there's the potential of a wreck, and they don't want it to poison everything. So, the fact that it was in an unmarked container that left the firefighters and first responders with, what is it? What do we do with it? How do we handle it? You know, what do we need to be safe when we're responding to it? What does the public need to be safe in order for our response to be adequate to protect, loss of life and property from the public's point of view? And that's kind of what that container marking's all about. That's why it's a big deal. So, I don't even know. I mean, the fines are tremendously huge on that kind of stuff. So I don't understand. It would, you know, an enemy has done this. I mean, that's kind of to use a biblical quote.
Well, there's just so many things that were wrong about it and the wrong about the way that they handled the whole situation. And where it happened, when it happened, and, you know, stuff that, there's stuff that they had went through and updated their EPA hazmat regulations on toxicity levels of hydrochloric acid within the last 90 days, and that was the only one of the chemicals that they updated.
Wow. That's interesting.
And
well, in VC,
there in the town of Palestine, they had went through and done all kinds of health checks on people and given people body monitors where they could monitor their health. And I'm not sure what organization it was, but some health organization had been in there and had given a lot of people, they could sign up and they could do testing for body function monitoring where they put a thing on their arm and they can check their vitals and it reports back to them and they were doing studies. I mean, it's just, the more that you look at it, the more that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, and
you can keep digging and digging and digging. And I don't know if anybody else saw the movie that that they had released about the town. And I think it was a Netflix production that they had done about a town very similar and about a chemical outbreak.
Yeah, it was called, the movie was called White Noise, and there's a racist undertone as well, but I think that's what it was called. And yeah, and even some of the extras that were in that movie live there in Palestine, Ohio. And so they were in this movie, I think it was last year, a couple years ago when they filmed it, and now it's happening in their lives. And so when you look at this movie, yeah, it you know, just another classic, you know, stupid acting, ridiculous things in the movie, but it tells the story. You know, our pastor, he taught on that many times, that is a rule of warfare that the enemy must follow. They must either tell you what they've done or what they're doing or what they want to do. And they tell it in their movies. That's the big part today, the big way they do it today. But they tell it in stories and things like that, but mainly in movies. And they told it. And so, yeah, like you said, Jason, the more you look into it, the more complex and the worse it gets. It was, and like you said, Tim, an enemy has done this. And when you have eyes to see, you can see that these, you know, these 3 plus 3 plus 19 plus 412 and all, it doesn't add up to 2. It just doesn't. There's more to it. And it's, I've been talking with people this week, and you can see the similarities in this movie and what's happened there. And it's not that far off from that old cult classic movie, They Live, which was a horrible movie with the horrible acting, terrible language. You know, it was just a B-grade movie. But the story that it told, and it's put out as a B-grade movie on purpose, but the story that one told, you know, there's a church that's giving out glasses that lets you see the aliens among us. And, you know, you can't make this stuff up because it's already made up. It's already real. It's there. You know, people having their eyes opened to aliens. And anyway... And so it is, and we see that. That's just two examples, you know. One with that current event of the train derailments, but there have been many, you know, throughout the years. Pastor taught on that They Live, and others that they tell their story. They put you know, whether it's confessions or what out there, and. And they have their meaning to each other. You know, they're boasting. Their esoteric, their hidden message is they're boasting to each other. Hey, look what we did. Oh, you did that. That's pretty neat. That's good job. The exoteric to us is, oh, it's just a science fiction movie. You know, it's a way, another way to be entertained and dumbed down.
Well, let's get back to the train derailment. We were finishing up with that. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we don't know how far and how bad this chemical spray is. And I think people really need to keep that in prayer. And we need to keep our, the, you know, these people that are out there dealing with this in prayer, because, I mean, those are, you know, that area is a predominantly white area. I mean, I don't know if they're Christians or not, but, I mean, you look at a lot of the pictures, and it's our people, the demographics are. We need to keep those people in the prayer. And, you know, I think that that it's one of those things is that, you know, they do everything that they can do to destroy the environment. And, you know, people forget that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And, you know, when he loved the world, he loved the world. And this is anything that they can do to pollute the world, you know, the soil, the ground, the air, the atmosphere, they do it. And they're warring with God. And,
yes.
You know, this is, you know, with the chickens and the birds that are dying, I mean, there's a huge area all around there where, you know, people have lost their whole flocks of chickens already. And, you know, fish are dying. There's, I can't remember what percentage of the population gets their water from the Mississippi, but I think it's some huge number, like 10%, isn't it?
The Ohio, yeah, the Ohio provides drinking water
to
10%.
Yeah.
To 10% of the United States population, and it's one of the top three largest tributaries into the Mississippi, which is the largest river. You know, so when you consider that, the other gas that I was trying to think of when you asked that, Jason, is vinyl chloride converts when burned, and I'm not a chemist, but it converts the phosgene gas.
Okay.
And
anybody that's ever been around that or breathed that in, that's basically the same thing as mustard gas.
Exactly. They used it in World War One. Phosgene was used as a weapon in World War One. I mean, so, you know, it's like, how we talk about warfare items, how much thought does it take to realize that if you know, obviously, we couldn't bring our own chemical weapon into America over the border or fly it in and get it in there, but we could put a unmarked container on a train and create one, you know. So it's one of those things. Either coincidences abound or it was by plan and design, you know. So I guess you have to kind of decide that in your own mind, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And I know that they're even testing the water. I mean, quite some distance away from there, and you know, stuff showing up in the water. So you know, it's a good thing that I mean, you know, and that's why you know people need to be prepared and have some extra water filters. I don't know if you can filter out of the water or not. I'm not that well versed on it, but I know you'd be better off than you know drinking whatever you're drinking out of the tap or anything like that. What were you going to say, Zach?
Well, the way they touch that off, I mean, like, and I've watched a little bit about it, and, you know, like it was mentioned, like people are having their animals are dying, and, I mean, it's just terrible. And, you know, I was just looking at a map there while we were talking about it, and, you know, all that chemical in runoff is going... I mean, it's a pretty serious situation that's going on there, and that's all running in the Ohio River. I mean, that's all going into the Mississippi. I mean, it's just not, you know, 100 square miles. I mean, this stuff, I mean, it's running the water and the air. I mean, it's going both directions. It's going east and west, you know? I mean, it definitely does sound fishy. It's not a good situation. And like you said, Jason, be prepared. You know, that's just really unfortunate. I mean, I feel for those people out there, you know. I mean, a lot of people are going to be losing a lot of stuff because of this. And, you know, it wasn't nothing that they did. And whether it was negligence or it was done on purpose. I mean, it's kind of looking like it wasn't negligence. And doggone, I mean, but it just tells you, I mean, I think it all points back. People are waking up and they're starting to push back. And I do agree. I mean, we are in a war. And, you know, one of the ways that we can fight is where we spend our money. Who do we support? And people's minds are turning back towards their neighbors. And, you know, I mean, this could be just a thump from the enemy saying, hey, you know, it's a warning shot. I'm definitely going to look up those movies and, you know, I don't watch any of that kind of stuff, so I don't really know a lot of what you guys are saying. I don't write to say anything because I simply don't know, because I don't watch movies like that, you know? But yeah, that's a bum deal there. And, you know, our prayers and need to be going out for God's protection on those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's really interesting that there's a whole bunch of, if you want to look something up that's interesting, look up fifth generation warfare. There's some stuff out there on it right now. They're calling it 5GW. And I don't know why. I originally, when I was looking stuff up, I was like, well, that's interesting. 5G, you know, isn't that what we're going to on our phones now? It's 5G. And they're talking about all of the damaging deleterious effects it has on the human body and on our animals and everything else. And then we've got this thing called fifth generation warfare, which is 5GW. And one of the quotes that I thought was interesting out of the 5GW thing was that this is no ordinary war, however. Most of the victims of this warfare aren't even able to identify it as war, nor do they understand that they are combatants in it. So, you know, we don't have any newspaper articles or any internet art. We're at war, you know, from any of the lamestream media out there saying that. And yet our Bible told us in Ephesians 6, you know, we're wrestling against things that are like this. I mean, you know, that was a prophetic undertaking, and I think we just have to be able to identify it and understand it. And so that was just they kind of detailed first generation, second generation, you know, so on and so forth, down to fifth generation warfare, where it's an asymmetrical form of warfare, that it's a battle of perceptions and information. And you know, and I think that's what we're seeing, I mean, all around. So,
well, Tim, you bring up Ephesians 6, you know, pretty much everybody that's listening here knows what Ephesians 6 is all about. And you're supposed to put on the armor of God. Well, that means you're a soldier. Soldiers are supposed to be doing something. And soldiers are ill-tempered towards an opponent. There's somebody that they don't like. There's a group of people that they're not happy with and that they want to combat. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we know that all these preachers out here, they're in the business of getting people just strictly to heaven, you know. And we know that our God's a political system, and, you know, he sent his son and he gave us that system back. And, you know, we know the consequences of obedience and disobedience. And, you know, we as Christian soldiers need to be educating people to handle their business differently, I guess, is about the best way to put it that I can think of right off the top of my head. And that's not, you know, we are to be trying to transitioning out of the Babylonian system. That's our enemy. And, you know, when they see people getting more self-reliant, the Babylonian system, they want to fight too, because then that means they're losing control. Because, I mean, whether you know it or not, and if you're an Israelite, if you start doing right, just because of the way the word of God works, there will be a blessing. There will be some type of reward, you know. But, I mean, that's what we are called to do as Christians, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, you know. Our Lord's the Word. Our Lord's the Word that became flesh. And that requires us to be angry at groups. That's our job. That's the way it is. And, you know, so there's a lot of groups out there that are going against the Word. So it's like Pastor used to say, we are in luck. I think he was quoting Smedley Butler. You know, the enemy's all around us. You can fire at any direction. They're right there. So, you know, it's exciting times. But we know we're going to win in the end. And, you know, just get that.
Absolutely.
Just bear down, you know. That's what we got to do.
Yep. This war's been going on since the beginning of time. It's the kingdom of God against the kingdom of the devil is what it amounts to. And in recent times, where they really got a grip on us was in the early 1900s when they took over the seminaries and perverted the preachers. And this is what really, this war's been going on forever, but now these tares are just standing up with no conscience, and it's a time that's never been. You know, you like these movies you're talking about, they put the truth out there, what they're going to do, they warn us, and we should know the consequences of disobedience. I seen a billboard yesterday. It says, when people forgave God, their enemies forged their chains, and this is what's happened. We've, as a nation, It's all started in the house of God. When he says, I'm going to come back, and the judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, and because that's where it's wrong. You know, nobody knows what sin is. They don't know about baptism, permission of sin. You know, we're in a valley of dry bones right now. When you look around and you're looking at dead walking people before all this stuff happened, but it's getting really real, and there ain't no escaping it as I see it, what's going on. They're at war. I mean, well, you know, in China, and Russia, they hate us righteously, because look at all the stuff that gold drop we've done in wars, just stealing natural resources, Vietnam, all the way back. And that's what every war was about, taking control of some natural resources in a valuable country. And we've been all over the globe doing that. And we got a good spanking coming. That's all there is to it. We got it coming. But you know, you need to have the blood on the doorpost, because this is our only survival. Because, you know, we can know all that we know, but I don't really know where to start with some people. Some people are, I'll tell you what, if they're not looking, you might as well not talk to them, because they have to look. But I do think that circumstances are changing where they're starting to look. Because I seen a guy the other day, he said, what's going on in this world? Well, at least he asked the question. You know, we could have told him a year or two ago, but you know, when they ask, that's when it happens. I mean, this, things like this is real. When that was a, you know, I get it, Mike Adams things. I don't know how I got it, but I get it. And I'd like to hope he's wrong, but I don't think he is. You know, he's telling how bad this thing is, and it's just getting worse and worse. But we're in war. That's all there is to it. They're sending these balloons over us. Who knows what they're doing, you know? Like I said, dropping something in Montana. I mean, this is war. And people sitting here, oh, I go to church, I go to Bible study, you know. That's the blind leading the blind, you know. I probably wouldn't have known the Bible without Pastor Peters, you know. Up till then, it was like reading someone else's mail. You know, when you know who you are, it's your mail. You know, and that letter's written to me, that's a whole different Bible. That's what happened as I see it. So, yes, this war has been going, but it's coming to a head as I see it. You know, but even you take agriculture, they've destroyed this land, you know, all the stuff coming out of the universities. They stole our children in the public schools. I mean, and we let it happen. You don't have to be smart. You just got to be obedient. You know, do what he said. The whole thing, our whole responsibility is to love God and keep his commandments. And that's pretty simple. And you don't have to be smart. You got to be obedient.
Amen.
Yeah, we're not smart enough to come up with this stuff on our own. So, you know, I was talking with a guy a couple days ago, and we were talking about a preacher dude that we know, that we both of us knew the same guy. And I grew up with the guy, and I knew him. I mean, I know that guy for 30 years now, and maybe longer. And he ended up becoming a preacher, and his week job was selling home mortgages. And when I found that out, I never talked to him again. I haven't talked to the guy in, you know, probably 15 years because it just made me sick to my stomach. I mean, here's the guy. He's sitting there. He's a preacher. And he's going to a big, I mean, he's a preacher in a big church. And he's telling them, you know, to give the money to, you know, so that way God can bless them, bless these people. And then he's turning around selling them 30-year mortgages. And the guy I was talking to about it with, and like I don't even remember how we got on it, but like it literally made me sick to my stomach. And then, of course, as I'm talking about it, I'm getting mad. And, you know, and I'm like, I wouldn't follow that guy across a mud puddle, you know. And he's like, you're always so rough on these preachers. And I'm like, look, man. I go, you know, because this guy, he's a church goer. He likes to snuggle with the Jews and all that other stuff. And I'm like, you should know by when you read the Old Testament, a loan shouldn't last over 7 years. You should also know that that God had his political system, and all these teachers, all these preachers out here are saying all that. It's gone. I go, so he's over there getting money on both ends. I'm like, this dude's a total scam. And we went around and around and around. And finally he says, you know what? You're right. I'm like, I know I'm right. But the point is, like, you have to sit there and stick to your guns. And if you're educated, and you, like what Paul said right there, if they're asking and you got them on the hook, I mean, you go. I mean, you get them on the ground and you work them over until you can't work them over anymore or until they say uncle, then you walk away. But the point is, you know, you got to expose these guys. When you get right down to it, it is because of, like what Paul says, they left the seminaries, or they took over the seminaries, and when that happened, they had control of the country. And it's been a downward hill ever since, and, you know, that's our job. We got to educate the people, you know. God said, my people die because of a lack of knowledge. And, you know, it's study time. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is a weapon.
Well, I ran across an article on a magazine the other day, and they were talking about them hacking the planet. And it suddenly occurred to me, and it probably has to other people. Sometimes I'm a little slow. But that's why I guess God works with me. But anyways, they're trying to hack God's system. You know, it's like a computer thing. I mean, it's like he has his system. He has his antiviruses. He has his situations, and they have theirs. And they're trying to hack God's system all the way throughout. They want, whether it's planetary order, or order in the home, or order between you and your God, the controller. You know, it's all a case of, it's all been just constantly trying to undo that, and they use every means at their disposal to do it.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Is this Richard and the guys?
It is. Good morning.
Good morning, brothers Richard, Jason, Paul, Tim, and Zach Porter, if I got that correct. This is Brother John Kevin in Buffalo, New York area. As you were talking, gentlemen, about praying for the people in distress all over the place, not only with this catastrophe, there's been other train wrecks and everything else. How about out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, can I pray with you guys, say verses 4 through 7 for those folks?
Yes, absolutely.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, I got to start in 3 through 7. So it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us, and Father God, we're praying for all these dear, precious people out here, who comforted us in all our tribulation, the people in Ohio. There's been train wrecks in Colorado, I hear, train wrecks in Texas and other states. So this is like, it seems to me like a very deliberate attack. And the attacks on the power grid, attacks on the chickens, like you're saying, all that. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And you brothers have been speaking on that, on comforting and encouraging and exhorting people in your different sermons the last several weeks. So praise God for that. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Sorry, I got too many notes in this Bible. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in, by Christ. You see, you hear this word consolation like three or four times in these few short verses. And whether we be afflicted, these dear people all over being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffered. So, you know, Paul talking about what he's going through, he and Silas and the other church planters, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And then verse 7, and our hope of you for all these dear people, A, come to salvation, B, get some common sense, is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. And the only thing I'll just add is, I don't know if it was Jason was saying this or Zach, one of you, Tim, you know, the people, like the pets, the other pets are dying, the fish are dying, yet they show these people on the news standing in line, none of them, I mean, not even putting a bandana, I mean, probably be worthless, but nobody wearing air masks, nothing. You know, thousands of people standing in line to go to a town hall. Yep. Breathing in all that filth, you know, coming down in the air when all their pets just died. Indoor cats, indoor animals dying, and they don't even have the sense to put something over their mouth and nose. So that's exactly my comment. We pray for these dear people to get common sense, but, you know, be saved. And I'll leave off and hear from you brothers on that. And thank you for all your encouragement and exhortation you've been doing to encourage us in these trying times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Hey guys, got another caller waiting. Caller, thanks for holding, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Christ, he said, if you can receive it, this was Elijah. Talking about John the Baptist. I'm pretty sure I got that right. Well, you know, Elijah, the whole story is very telling in a way. And yet you're still left with room for faith. But a man asked another man back in the day in Kings. He said, what manner of man was this? Well, he's a hairy man, the guy said. He said, this was Elijah. Now, God allowed that in his book. But, you know, that's a man speaking. And when you take that in consideration of what Christ said, it begins to paint a picture. And it's a very complex in a way, but if you read that story over and over like I have, it's like God is saying, okay, here's a little bit more. And you listen to other people that are, you can tell they're trying to tell the truth as best they know it. You start to get more of the picture with the whole, I don't know what you call it, but there's so many things that I could relate to nowadays about that story that it's overwhelming a little bit, but I'm glad that Christ said, I am the truth. And that's a direct quote from him.
Amen. Amen. And he is the truth. And And yeah, lots there. Like you said, that the quote from Christ is that if you will accept it, we hear that time and time again. We see that throughout the scriptures. You know, he who has ears, let him hear. And so the truth is there. If you seek, you'll find. Absolutely. Well, brother, thanks for the call. We're going to try to get this other line here. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Yes, good morning.
Was this for me, Eric?
Yes, Eric. Got to turn your radio off.
Okay. I've got some information. I went to the hay and feed store here yesterday about the chickens. You mentioned that in that area out there, there's 3 out of 4 flocks of chickens are not giving eggs anymore. Now, here I thought that there's probably maybe something in the chicken feed or putting it in the air to make the chicken sick. So I ran that by the girl who was the taking the money to the feed store, and of course his husband's talking about, you know, conspiracies and all this. And I said, no, the eggs that the commercial people are making are not nutritious chicken. Sometimes I see 50 dozen eggs in a dumpster, and you stick your finger in the egg, go right in the paper-thin shell. So she said, you know, we're talking about 2 cents per profit per dozen eggs sold. And she said in the last 2 years, the price of feed has gone way up. So they're probably just giving us less quality. And I remember from my other books, like the Will Bonsall's book he just put out, the hybrid corn just doesn't have the protein of the old pre-hybrid stuff. And some of it's like 25% more protein in the old non-hybrid corn. And she said that that's probably the thing. You know, they're just feeding a crummy feed, and the chickens are just, there's not enough protein there. So I've got about 8 different kinds of corn I'm going to grow this year and see which is the best. And I'll go from there. And let's see. You know, there's this one great seed catalog. Everybody should get a hold of this. It's the most interesting, complete, informational seed magazine. It's from Maine also. It's called Fedco, F-E-D-C-O, Seeds and Supplies. I've got the phone number if you want it, but it really gets great descriptions. It tells all about the old corn being so much higher protein. And so now I think, well, that's probably the deal. So maybe there's not something bad in the corn, but it's just substandard, low-protein corn.
Eric, could very well be, Eric. You know, I remember we shared a report. It's been a few years ago now, but it was a farmer in Ohio that had put out that, had some non-hybrid, non-GMO corn had put out, and some of the Roundup Ready corn stuff, and the mice and the rats would not eat the hybrid modified corn, and that hasn't changed. I don't think that's changed at all, and so yeah, it could very well be. I know we've seen quite a bit of reports and issues on this. You know, on the chickens and the eggs.
So my chickens, too, I've got black Australopes. They supposedly won the egg laying contest in Australia, the 1800s, for like 364 eggs a year or something. Now I've got four of my 5 hens not laying an egg a day, just 1 a day. I thought, well, there's something wrong here. But, you know, I got some fancier feed for quite a bunch more dollars, but for egg laying. So it says it got the 20% protein in it, so I'll see how that goes.
All right, Eric. Well, brother, thank you for the call, and thanks for the comments. And best of luck with those chickens. And it ties back, I think, Zach, you were talking about earlier, you know, what's been on our hearts, Remnant, is to be ready. To be ready for these things, to not just depend on that truck coming in and bringing that pallet of feed to your feed store, to look at different options, whether it's feed for your family, feed for your chickens, water, whatever it may be, to have as much as possible, you know, some sort of, whether it's self-sufficiency or at least options. I think, does that, I think that's, you know, just a good idea to have, to not be oblivious to these things.
I got three comments on that last. I got three comments on that last caller. One, I think it's awesome that he's growing different types of corn to see what works best, and that's the best way to learn stuff. I think that's great. He will find out, and he'll be productive. Two, he made the comment on there, which these commercial egg producers are making 2 cents a dozen. And honestly, you can call me crazy. I really don't give a rip. I think that these little mom and pop places that got 15, 20 eggs, and then the last or 15, 20 chickens in the last 10 years have like literally grew up and they've sprouted up everywhere. I think that they're beating the pants off them. That's my opinion. And because people, like, their chickens are easy to keep. They're not, and you just see them everywhere. You see them everywhere. And people are buying and taking them. And I think they're working them over. I can't remember what the third one was. I forgot. So I remember two of them. So, but that's what I think is going on. I think a lot of these, I think that with those people raising their own flocks and being self-sufficient, it just shows you how much power people actually have. Because everybody I talk to that has birds, they all say they can't keep the eggs. When I was raising eggs, I couldn't keep them. And that was a while ago. That's 5-6 years ago. But I quit because I got tired of the competition. But the point is, everybody's doing it. And I really think that they're putting a hurting on those guys.
I think I think that the eggs have been targeted too, because there's a lot of information out there, and there's getting to be more and more available. And it's like, you know, how healthy these eggs are for you. And you know, we've known for a long time that it's one of the cheapest sources of the protein that a person could buy. And now with all this stuff coming out that, you know, it's anti-COVID, it's antibacterial, it's antiviral, it'll protect you from, you know, getting some of these different diseases and everything like that. I mean, it's, you know, back to one of the weapons of warfare. You cut off their food supply, you know, and protein. Anytime that there's a war, protein's a big deal.
Yep.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, I remember what the third one was. When you're producing eggs, this time of year and in the winter, put a light on a timer. A lot has to do with light, and those eggs will respond. And those chickens will respond. So that's the third comment I had about that.
Amen.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
Well, people don't realize the destructiveness of Roundup, and that, you know, think of the name of the Roundup. Roundup works, it goes into a plant and grabs every cation, and when it goes on through the food, it just keeps doing it in your body too. And I guess it's pretty hard to find any corn that isn't Roundup ready in a major store. You got to go to an Amish or something and get something different. So it's planned and it's coming to a head. So.
Amen. Well, guys, we are out of time. Want to thank you for joining us, and want to invite you to church tomorrow, guys. Starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. Join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and we'll hope you'll join us there. Men, have a great weekend, and thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
country stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.